an incredible story now, which will renew your faith in humankind and of animal kind as well. To tell us about strays, please welcome to the show Britt Collins. Thanks for joining us, Britt.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's lovely.
So Strays, this is your book. It's the story of Michael King, who was homeless, he was depressed, and he was an alcoholic. Do we know why and how he got that way?
Well, I guess he's had a really rough childhood for a start. He kept running away from home from the age of 12 until he finally got away at 16. And he had a sort of pretty happy, settled life with an old high school buddy. And then his partner, who was the sort of high school mate, died of AIDS. And so he just decided to go off on an adventure. He didn't expect to walk into homelessness, but then he felt a sense of community on the street and decided to stay.
Yeah.
So he had a really, really deeply tragic life.
Oh, very sad. Poor man. He was living in a UPS loading bay in Portland, in Oregon, and one night he stumbled across this poor little hurt, starving, scruffy little cat.
Yes. He saw her underneath a picnic table outside of a cafe. She had an injured eye. She was soaked to the bone because it was raining. And it was a very busy road, Hawthorne. It's like Oxford Street in London. And so he decided, well, even though he had nothing really to offer, he had to help the cat because he feared that she'd be run over. And he thought her owner would eventually claim her or she'd go off to wherever she came from. But of course, she was there the next morning and he got deeply attached to her. And when winter came, he decided to take her to California on his usual sort of seasonal migration.
It's a lovely story. Amazing. He called her Tabor.
The cafe where he found her was called the Tabor Hill Cafe. And he thought whether she's a male or female, the name would fit.
And the book, which I have here, I have a copy of it here. This is the story of their trip across America together.
Oh, yes. They got picked up by truckers, cowboys, families, drug addicts, evangelists, and they camped in Yosemite. They lived underneath a tree on the beach for 3 months. They had encounters with bears, coyotes. They survived a cattle stampede. They had this wild adventure. But during all this time, her owner, Ron, back in Portland, never stopped looking for her. And her brother waited for her on the porch every night for 10 months.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, because wasn't it for some reason he had to take Table to the vet, and it was when the vet discovered a microchip?
Well, he went to visit his father in Montana because he hadn't seen him in months. Walter took him in when he was a 16-year-old living in Montana, and the state would not allow him to live there because he needed a legal guardian. So he went to Alcoholics Anonymous and met Walter, and he was his legal guardian for 30 years. So he decided to visit Walter, and his foster father was concerned about his own cat, Gus, who was elderly and thought she might have picked up ticks or mites or diseases on their travels. And he insisted that Michael take Tabor to the vet. And that's when they found that she had a microchip. And he decided to do the right thing because, as he said himself, he could have just taken the cat and hitchhiked to the East Coast. But he thought the cat deserved to go back home, even though it broke his heart.
Oh, that's so sad. So good of him, but so sad. And he hitchhiked all the way back again to where he first found her at the cafe.
Well, he did, because the owner, Ron, wanted to come to Montana to collect her. But Michael asked if he could have one last trip with her, because leaving her so abruptly would be hard. And so he hitchhiked all the way back to Portland from Montana. It took 4 days.
Wow. And I can imagine Ron was elated when he saw his cat again.
He actually gave a little homecoming party, but Michael decided to come an hour earlier than he told him because he knew that there would be media outside the house, and there were 4 television and radio trucks.
Oh, wow.
So he just couldn't deal with it. So he came an hour earlier with the whole entourage of his homeless friends and 4 dogs. And
Mikey.
But Tabor was really distressed when he left her, and she hid for a bit, and she even hissed at Ron and her brother. But then she realized where she was, and she was really happy.
Well, they seemed to help each other. Tabor actually was inspirational in helping Michael to get sober. And I worry this sort of a wrench, and all of a sudden he's on his own again. That didn't set him off the wrong path again, did it?
Well, he started drinking less simply because he didn't want anybody to take the cat away. And also, since they were living in wild places and wildernesses, he had to keep an eye on her because there are all sorts of wild animals. They even had an encounter with coyotes who circled them underneath their tree in Ventura, where they lived on the beach. And so he thought he had to cut back on his drinking or only drink at night to keep the cat safe and to keep the cat from being taken away from him. But so inadvertently, she kind of changed his drinking habits. He became sober for 18 months. He went to rehab. He realized that a lot of his friends were either dead or in prison, and he thought he couldn't sort of continue with his lifestyle. But then he's kind of relapsed again. He kind of falls back and forth off the wagon. And he still lives in a street, and he still hitchhikes to California in the winter, and he goes visit his foster father. He doesn't really want to come off the street. Mm. But, I mean, whether or not he'll ever stop drinking, as his foster father Walter said, you know, some people never reach sobriety in this lifetime. And perhaps Michael is one of those people.
Did you actually interview Michael yourself for the book?
I spent months interviewing Michael. Ron, his friends. I sat in street corners with him in parks. I went to Ron's house. I went to the house where he grew up. He took me to Selby Island, where he and I rescued a bone and kitten that somebody dumped in the woods to die. It was the woods just full of predators, and it was just a fluke that we went there because Ron thought I should see Selby Island, where he used to go visit his grandparents in the 70s. And we almost didn't go there. We were going to go elsewhere, and we were having a little picnic on the beach, Ron, myself, and his two cats. And this tiny little black scraggly kitten came out of the woods. She was desperately thirsty and hungry. And of course, the lovely thing about it, the story's come full circle. Ron kept her, and she became part of his family.
Oh, when Table, I mean, I'm sure Table wasn't her name when Ron had her. I'm assuming she's got a different name now. But how does she disappear from Ron? Did she just run off one day?
No, when she disappeared the second time, when Michael found her, Ron only had her back for 3 months. She went missing for 6 months. He had this homophobic neighbor that he was at war with who hated animals, hated cats, hated Ron for being gay, just was really sort of hateful drug addict. He broke into his house, kidnapped the cat, dumped her in the woods. She lived wild for 6 months. Mm-hmm. By the time somebody found her, she was half dead, and she was semi-feral when she came back because she was so confused. And she must have had a really hard time because Oregon is freezing in the winter.
Yeah, I'll bet it is, yeah.
And somehow, miraculously, she managed to survive. So when Ron got her back, he only had her back for 3 months before she went missing again. So he virtually had a nervous breakdown because he loved these two cats. He had them since they were 2 weeks old. Mm. Somebody dumped them. He found them underneath a neighbor's porch when they were half dead, and he nurtured them back to health and found homes for three, and he kept Mata and her brother. Her name is Madahari.
Oh, great name. It's a terribly sad story because I can't help worrying now for Michael, who's alone again. And as you say, drinking. When was the last time you were in touch with him?
I was in touch with him last summer. I keep in touch with him regularly, but he was sober for almost 2 years, but then he just fell off the wagon again. It's usually when he goes back to Portland. Mm-hmm. Because everybody around him drinks, but I guess he manages his drinking. Yeah. He's also rescued another kitten and found her a home since taking Tabor back home. He rescued a dog, which he kept. He named her Abbey Road, and she's more suitable for the road because she's a dog.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's a good thing.
So he's got an animal companion, not a cat anymore. But cats are harder to look after when you're living out in the streets than dogs.
Yeah, of course. And how did you hear about the story? Was it because of the media attention when Table was brought back to Ron? Is that how you knew about it?
At the time, I was living in Los Angeles. I'd moved there with my filmmaker husband and our five cats from London. And 6 months being in LA, I was working on a story for The Guardian, and I was researching, I can't remember what it was, but I noticed this headline, a homeless man travels 3,600 miles to take cat back home. And I thought that was so extraordinary. I just stopped what I was doing. I started reading it, and I found Michael's foster father in Montana. Then I contacted Ron. 3 weeks later, we were filming them in Portland. And it was such an amazing story. And I love animals so much. And anybody who rescues animals and goes to such great lengths for them touches my heart. So
yeah, me too.
Incredible story.
Me too. And I know that you volunteer at animal sanctuaries around the world and have also created the UK's first boutique cat festival.
Yes, I have.
Tell us about that.
Well, I wanted to do something for, since I came back to London and got divorced, I thought I'll put all my focus on animals. I do write other stories as well, but I write more conservation stories now. I thought I want to sort of help cats. I've rescued about 200 of them off the streets of London on my own.
Crikey.
You know, even as a jobbing journalist and magazine editor, I always, in my sort of downtime, would rescue and foster cats, find them homes, pay for their vet bills. It's kind of an addiction once you start. You can't, if you love animals and they're distressed or in trouble or in a poor state, you can't walk away. You know, as Mike, even though he had nothing to offer, even though he could barely feed himself, he couldn't turn away from this cat.
Mm.
And I'm the same. Everywhere I travel in the world, I went to Cuba for a 10-day holiday years ago and rescued this tiny kitten. She fit into the palm of my hand. She had a broken leg. Basically, I hardly saw Cuba. All I did was take care of Francesca. I fixed her leg. I found her a home. And I've seen her grow up over the internet. I've sent her care packages. But the festival, I thought I could raise awareness and raise money for animals. So there, we've got three beneficiary charities, and one of them deals with Moroccan street cats. But our main charity is Ace Dog Cat and Kitten Rescue. And I thought I would help cats in need and just bring cat lovers together. And people are coming from all over the world, from Europe, from America, from Australia. At the time when I was putting it together, I thought it would be extraordinary if I can get people outside of London to come. But I didn't expect them to come from everywhere, which is quite amazing, really.
That's incredible. Well done. And this is on the 14th of July, I believe.
14th of July, and it's sold out. We'll have a select number of tickets at the door, but it's been long sold out. And we have amazing speakers. We have Jeffrey Mason, who wrote The Nine Emotional Lives of Cats. Gwen Cooper, the best-selling writer of Homer's Odyssey about her blind cat. And we also have Giles Clark from Big Cats About the House.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And we also have celebrity cats like Artemis and Apollo, who've been all over the world themselves, and they've got 150,000 Instagram followers.
Oh, it's a shame Tabor can't go there.
I know. It's you know, Tabor, Ron said she's become a bit of a couch potato. He doesn't allow his cats to go out anymore. He takes them out and leads.
Yeah, he's probably frightened, isn't he?
He is frightened. I mean, he lost her twice. He got her back twice. And she must have suffered the first time. And he just won't take any chances. And, of course, the little black kitten that he and I rescued doesn't really want to go out because she had a hard time in the woods. And she's quite – I mean, he takes her everywhere in the lead and she's quite happy to go. But I don't think they want – and I don't believe in cats roaming freely because 10 years ago when I was living in East London, somebody murdered one of my cats. They set a pit bull on her, took her head off. And I've never really – so I don't believe cats should be allowed to roam freely, especially in London. We have a serial killer who's mutilated and killed over 500 cats. He hasn't been caught in 3 years, and who knows if he's going to be caught. So,
for goodness sake.
People don't let their dogs or children out to roam freely, so why should they let cats?
That's awful, Britt. That's absolutely awful. Terrible.
But, you know, if you train them early enough, you could teach them to... I have a friend, Jill, she's a travel writer, and her cat Mittens goes everywhere with her. She's been to hotels, she's been on boats, and she loves it.
Yeah, if it's all they know from a kitten, then, you know, then it's all they know, isn't it?
Not even from a kitten. You know, they will adapt. As soon as they realize that it's fun and they're not in danger and you're with them, they adapt really quickly, just like any other animal or as children do. So. I mean, my friend Jill started training her cat at the age of 2, so not necessarily a kitten.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, if our listeners want to find out more about your cat festival, it's CatFest. You can go to catfestlondon.com. I believe your website, Britt, is brittcollins.net.
Yes, that's right.
And the book, Michael said that Tabor was a rainbow in an otherwise dark world, which is lovely. And the book was called Strays, The True Story of a Lost Cat, a Homeless Man and Their Journey Across America. It's by Britt, who we're speaking to right now. And you can buy it. You can even buy it from our website, tre.radio. If you click on the bookshop banner, you can buy it right now from there. Thank you so much. Do let us know when you have another book out, Britt.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Britt Collins, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Selena. Bye.